May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. So, good morning, church. Yes, as you see, yes, it's Bible Sunday. You might have noticed that from what we've read and the prayers we've spoken. But today is also the day that a number of our youth will be heading up with a few adults to Harlem to visit the Corrie ten Boom house. I will be telling a story about Corrie later because I think it applies. But Bible Sunday is basically a great day for us to be thinking about the Word of God, what the Bible itself says about it, how we value it, what we do with it, reading it, meditating on it, studying it, maybe even memorizing it, and then how we apply that word to our lives, keeping it, obeying it, and teaching it to others. Now, we notice part of our prayers this morning of penitence quoted Hebrews, "The word of God is living and active." And in fact, many of the prayers that we pray on a Sunday morning are actually just straight from the Bible. This morning, our Old Testament reading talked about how the public reading of the word, along with giving the meaning so that people understood what was being read, led to great rejoicing. And this, too, is part of what we do every Sunday. We can indeed think of all 173 or 76 verses of Psalm 119. This morning, we did just do 8, but we learned. We can live according to the word. We can determine not to stray from his commands. And if we hide the word in our heart, we can keep from sinning. We can use our lips to read the word aloud. And we can rejoice in the word. We can meditate on it and delight in it. And we can determine that we will not neglect the word. Because, you know, Billy Graham once put it this way, if you are ignorant of God's word, you will always be ignorant of his will. And we don't want that. I even quoted Psalm 19 as a prayer to start this, but that psalm also talks about the value that we place on the word. It is more to be desired than gold, and it's sweeter than honey straight from the comb. But of course, we can also think about what Jesus had to say. So, first of all, he quoted scripture, and I mean a lot. And that means he must have memorized it. So, isn't that an example of actually hiding the word in our heart when we memorize scripture? John Bunyan even once said, well, if you cut Jesus, he's just going to bleed scripture. Now, that word was so in him that when he was tempted in the desert, those 3 times by Satan, he quoted scripture, all 3 times from Deuteronomy, including, and if you know it, say it with me, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Amen. Jesus valued the scriptures, and he referred to them regularly in his teaching of the good news. And he quoted even, you know, the prophets. So like he quoted Isaiah when he, in Luke, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to teach the good news to the poor. And then even at the very end, as he was dying in agony on the cross, he quoted Psalm 22. And if we read that whole psalm at the very end, we read, posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring yet to a people unborn, he has done it. Wow. We actually fulfill that prophecy as we meet together and proclaim his righteousness, and as we teach our children. And even in today's reading, Jesus reminds us that heaven and earth, it may pass away and will pass away at some point, but his word will never, ever pass away. Finally, we can think a bit about what we do with the word. James tells us in the first chapter of the letter that he wrote, Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. And he says later, whoever looks intently upon that perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. And of course, Paul says in 2 Timothy, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training up in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So we, you, me, all of us here, we read scripture to equip ourselves for every good work. Now, this might be a little theoretical, so I thought I'd shift gears to this pile of Bibles that I put there. There are many types, old, really old ones, some really new ones, some pretty ones, some ugly ones, different translations, different languages, study Bibles. Everything has a story about it, but this is a really little one. It fits in a bag. And it reminds me of the story I want to tell about Corrie ten Boom, because her story might give us a practical example of someone who valued the Bible. She read it regularly, she remembered it, and she was obedient to it. Little history lesson. For those who don't know, Corrie ten Boom was a Dutch evangelist. She had a stroke 5 years before her death at 91 in 1983. But before that, she was tramping around for the Lord. She went everywhere. But before that, during World War II, she was a member of the Dutch resistance, spurred by her family's strong Christian faith, a faith that was fed and nurtured by her father opening the Bible after breakfast every morning and reading scripture. Now, the family decided to create a hiding place in their home in order to shelter Jews from Nazi persecution. But in February of 1944, her family was betrayed. Her father died a few days later. Corrie and her elder sister Betsy were imprisoned, first in the Netherlands, in Scheveningen. We know that town because that's where we go to the beach. It's right near Den Haag. And then at a camp in Vught. Well, that's just a couple, maybe 20 kilometers to the north of here by Den Bosch. And you might remember a couple of weeks ago in September, they celebrated the Lichtjesroute in Eindhoven. That's a celebration of Operation Market Garden, which freed the southern part of the Netherlands. So you would think, oh, wow, they were freed then. But no, somehow the Nazis got wind of it, and they moved everybody from that camp to Ravensbrück in Germany, one of the really infamous, they were all infamous, but one of the infamous concentration camps. But before she had left Scheveningen, she had received a really compact Bible. It was a complete Bible, small enough to fit in a little pouch. And there's a story in her book about really this kind of a crazy, miraculous way that she was able to smuggle this Bible into Scheveningen, or into Ravensbrück. There were some amazing coincidences that enabled her to hide it. And then as she put the Bible in her pouch and carried it kind of at the back, she prayed, oh God, you could make the blind man see. Can you make the seeing men blind? And somehow or other, the people in front of her, they were kind of patted down and frisked and everything else, worse than what we experience at the airports. But she was passed over. Just remember, at this time, she was 52 years old. She was just a middle-aged lady like me. Oh, wow. But they managed to smuggle the Bible into the barracks, barracks number 28, which was to be their home. It was packed full with 1, 2, 3 tiers of bunk beds, with narrow aisles between blocks of 3 or 4 bunks deep. It was a place designed to hold 200 people, but it was packed with 700 women. And it was packed with fleas. Corey asked herself, how can anyone live like this? And I'd like to read an excerpt that I've taken from Corey's book, The Hiding Place, as Corey reflects and recollects her sister Betsy's words. Show us how. It was said so matter-of-factly that it took me a second to realize she was actually praying. Corey, he's given us the answer. Before we asked, like he always does, it was in the Bible this morning. Where was that again? Read that again. Corey opened her Bible and said, oh, 1 Thessalonians, okay. Oh, I'll read it from my paper here. It's really tiny. Comfort the frightened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. And see that none of you repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to all. Wow, it seemed to be written expressly for Ravensbrook. Go on, said Betsy, that wasn't all. Okay. Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. That's it, Corey, that's the answer. Give thanks in all circumstances. And Corey looked at Betsy, and then she looked around her at the dark and the stinky room. For what? And Betsy started listing things. For being assigned together. Oh yes, thank God, wow. For having the Bible with them. Oh, yes, Lord, yes, that's great. For the crowding of the room, which makes it possible for more people to hear the word of God as it's being read. Oh, yes, wonderful, thank you, God. For the fleas. Corey said, Betsy, there is no way even God can make me thankful for fleas. But give thanks in all circumstances, she quoted. It doesn't say in pleasant circumstances. Fleas are part of this place where God has brought us. And so they thanked God for the fleas. Now, once they were there, it developed that there was kind of an ecumenical worship service every night where an ever larger circle of women would gather. Maybe there would be a recital by some Roman Catholics of the Magnificat in Latin. And then in German, a whispered hymn from some Lutherans, and then a barely audible chant in Russian from some Eastern Orthodox women. And then Betsy would open the Bible and she would read in Dutch, and then Corey would translate into German, and then all around them they could hear as these words of God, the life-giving words, were being passed back and forth amongst the women in all of the languages, Polish and Russian and Czech and French, and wow, it was like a little slice of heaven. And it seemed amazing, because they were never interrupted by the guards. They were never caught. Well, Betsy's health wasn't very good, and she got named to the knitting brigade, which actually met in the barracks. And one day there was a problem, and you know, about sock sizes, and they called the supervisor in, but she didn't come in. And Betsy said, you know, you've never understood why we've had so much freedom in here. Well, I found out. The supervisor wouldn't come in. She wouldn't step through the door, and neither would the guards. And do you know why? The kids might know the answer to this. Because of the fleas. Wow. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I am awed and humbled by Betsy's faith and Corey's faith. But it's actually not enough to just be awed and humbled by it, because I want to learn from them. So there are 3 major points I actually want to commend on this Sunday to myself first, and maybe there might be one or two other people who need to hear this. First of all, Corey and Betsy recognized the value of this book, enough to be willing to risk their lives, their comfort, in order to have it with them. How much more should we value our Bibles, whether we have one or whether we have a whole pile of them at home, and give thanks for the safety in which we may read them? Now, second, they had a well-established pattern of reading the Bible every day. This had been developed in their family of origin, so we know that children can follow the example that their parents give. It is way too late for me to grow up in a family that reads Scripture every day. But it's not too late for our children. And finally, they were actually obedient to what they read, even when it went completely against their own natural instincts. I think this was probably the hardest thing. Honestly, I look at my pile of Bibles there and I think, wow, am I trying to compensate for something? All I really need is one, and I need to continually work to develop and maintain the discipline to read it daily, and, more importantly, to follow it, especially when what I'm reading challenges everything that feels natural to me. I have my work cut out for me. I'd like to close this with a prayer as the music team comes up to lead us in a song of thanksgiving for the word. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your written word. Help us to recognize its value and importance as your love letter written to us, and to have the discipline to read it regularly. We thank you for your living word, Jesus Christ, who came to save us. Help us each to receive Christ in our hearts and to follow his example in taking the word into our hearts too. And thank you for your Holy Spirit. May we be open to the Spirit as he encourages obedience to your word. Amen.